In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in prayer.
Good morning, and a blessed Palm Sunday to you all. Today on this feast day of Palm Sunday, it's hard not to think of the great crowds that came to greet Jesus. After he raised Lazarus from the dead, they were all in love with him. He was a superstar, and they wanted to be near him. They wanted to be able to touch him. They wanted to be in his shadow. He could do no wrong. And then just a few days, a few hours later, their minds could change so that many of the people who wanted to praise him and see him as the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, also wanted to see him crucified. And it's really amazing how not just them, but also us, how our thoughts can change without too much work to change them. And looking at today's, particularly the epistle reading, which I will mention in a moment, I would like today to look at how our thoughts often go uncontrolled and what can happen when we do that. We talk about controlling our appetite. If we had no control over our appetite, if we just ate whatever we wanted to eat, whenever it felt good to do so, we know that would be a bad thing. We know if our temper went uncontrolled and we had a tendency to get angry and it just didn't matter, let that temper just go, let it express whatever it wants at any time, we know that that would not be a good thing. And our speech, if we did not control our speech, if we didn't control the things we say, if we didn't watch over our mouth and just said the first thing that came into our heads all the time, we know this would be a problem. It's really not much different with the thoughts that we have. There needs to be a controlling of our thoughts. Now, it's not really thoughts that come into our heads, but what we do with the thoughts that come into our heads. St. John of Damascus said, "Whether the thoughts trouble us or not is something beyond our doing." We can't help it if a thought comes or if it doesn't come. But whether they dwell within us or not, that they stir up the passions or not, is something that is within our power. So whether the thoughts come in or not, we can't really control. But what we do once the thought comes in is in our control. And there's a word for this. The church uses nepsis, or watchfulness, or sometimes vigilance, having to do with guarding our thoughts. St. John the Solitary said, "Be attentive to the thoughts of your mind. If some evil thought passes through you, don't get upset, for it's not the transient thoughts of your mind that the knowledge of the Lord observes. Rather, he looks at the depths of the mind to see if you take pleasure in that evil thought which resides there." So it's not, don't worry about the thoughts that come in. We get all sorts of crazy thoughts at different times. Sometimes at the most strange times, but it's what we do with those thoughts. I would like to mention something about discouraging thoughts, because I hear about this oftentimes in confession too. People have feelings that they are no good, that they are wretched. Now, a lot of our prayers in the church talk about us being sinners, being the chief of sinners. And this is different than the type of discouraging thoughts that I'm mentioning. The saints who knew that they were sinners also knew that God's mercy was so much greater than the worst sin I could commit. And so they had hope in that. But sometimes people come that are very discouraged. Oftentimes these discouraging thoughts are mixed up with half-truths. There might be something involved in what I'm doing, in my actions, how I'm living, that encourage these thoughts. Or maybe someone else said something. Maybe someone else said something that is making me overwhelmed with certain feelings. It might have been from a long time ago. It might have been something our parents said to us many, many years ago, and we're still holding on these thoughts in our heads. There is a manner of looking at the thoughts and seeing whether they are from God or not. The fathers give us a simple rule. If the thought of a past failing discourages us to the point of depression, draining all our energy and zeal, tempting us to quit the struggles for virtue, telling us that we really shouldn't be praying anymore, we shouldn't come to church, or become complacent, then these thoughts are from the devil. If, however, the thought or the sorrow of a past failing gives us a desire to change, to repent, to refrain from those things, to start all over again, then that's from God. So not everything that tells us we're sinful is necessarily good, but it should give us an energy to repent. So I would like to give you three ideas that you can do with your thoughts, the thoughts we have, all sorts of thoughts. I just mentioned discouraging thoughts. Then there are those thoughts that are just strange thoughts, or maybe even sinful thoughts. Number one, what do we do with those thoughts? It's best to simply ignore many of the thoughts that come into our heads that aren't helpful. St. Paisio said, thoughts are like airplanes flying in the air. If you ignore them, there's no problem. If you pay attention to them, you create an airport inside your head and permit them to land. So most of the time, it's just best to ignore these thoughts. Don't get overwhelmed by the thought. Don't start saying, oh my goodness, how could I have thought that? Just say, Lord have mercy, and move on. Ignore it, disregard it. Sometimes we need to transfigure or convert the thought. One saint said, in our times, one of the greatest illnesses is the vain thoughts of worldly people. People can have all good things in life except good thoughts. They're tormented simply through not facing up to the things in a spiritual manner. For example, someone sets out to go somewhere, but has a little car trouble and is a little late getting to his destination. If he has a good thought, he'll say, perhaps our God, who is so good, brought this delay in order to prevent a possible accident. How can I thank you, my Lord, for this? Next time you're in a traffic jam. So he praises God for the delay. On the contrary, if he doesn't have a good thought, he won't face the incident in a spiritual manner. He'll curse God, he'll blame God, blame other people. And there's opportunities we have all the time. Something happens, and then the thought comes into our mind to get angry. It's our choice what we do to that thought. Rather than getting angry at the situation, we can turn it into a prayer. We can take that very situation, that difficult situation, and use it to give glory to God and help to train our own thoughts to think the right way. So sometimes we ignore the thought. Sometimes we transfigure the thought, convert it, change it into something more useful. When we accept whatever happens to us with a good and positive thought, we're helped. And when we get angry with a thought, it makes things more difficult for us. And then sometimes we simply need to reject the thought. Thoughts come into our heads, thoughts that are just no good for us. Thoughts about what other people are thinking about us that may have no semblance to reality. A person didn't say hi that day. They walked by. And then we create a whole scenario about what's going on. All these thoughts come in, and then it really discourages us. We have to reject many thoughts, perhaps. And it's hard to just reject a thought. Don't think about that. I reject that thought. And the fathers tell us to replace it with another thought. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you can use that little prayer, the Jesus prayer, continuously to help you reject thoughts in your head that aren't helpful for you, that are perhaps harmful for you. And so I'd like to close, actually, with the epistle reading for today. We heard Paul writing to the church in Philippi, and he said, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So Paul tells us very clearly what we are supposed to be thinking about. We have to be ready to either ignore many of the thoughts that cross our minds or look for a way to transfigure them, to convert them into something beneficial for us and our relationship to God and our neighbor, or to simply reject many thoughts and replace them with something beautiful and good, such as the Jesus prayer. And if we have many bad thoughts that we have to reject and we replace them all day long with the Jesus prayer, well, isn't that a good thing that we're praying the Jesus prayer all day long? And maybe this is a way to help train us. So think about these things today. Think about these things as we contemplate the Lord's passion this week, as we move towards his crucifixion and move to celebrate his resurrection from the dead. Let us fill our minds with these images of his great love for us and his desire for us to be in union with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst.